Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy Thursday, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast. Maybe I should speed that up because you hear it every single time. Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport. No, I can't speed it up. So you just have to, now I'm going to have to say it twice. And now you're thinking, I wish you would have said it right the first time, but there's nothing I can. Oh, well, you know it's Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast anyway, so there's no point. And we start with the White and Sawyer show. And Clinton Morrison, he was alongside. He wasn't the guest. Well, he was a guest. But anyway, they spoke exclusively to the PFA chief exec, Gordon Taylor. How's he still got a job? Beyond me. Anyway, in a fierce encounter, Jim offered the PFA boss a chance to respond to the scrutiny his organisation has come under for hiring an accountancy firm to look into the club's finances.
If players are being asked to take cuts and take deferrals, they've a right to know the situation of the club. It's as simple as that.
But salary caps, do you not think now inevitable, certainly in the Championship, Gordon, because some of these clubs at the moment, they're on their knees financially.
Jim, can I just say, we've been dealing with clubs going into financial trouble throughout the last four decades. There must be some 70 clubs who faced administration, and we have a football creditor rule to make sure that we were concerned that when Bury were allowed to be promoted, they haven't paid wages that they owed to players, they've not paid monies that they owed to clubs on transfer fees. Basically, the football creditor rule is very strong, and it's about the integrity of the game, and that no club can reform without paying the debts they owe to players and without paying the debts they owe to clubs. It's for the integrity of the competition. There's also been financial fair play. We have seen what happens when there's salary caps in rugby. You've seen what's happened with Saracens. You've seen what happened in other sports. You see, you know what happened when it was a maximum wage in football. I was a youngster getting autographed in outside a hotel in Manchester when the whole of the Sunderland club were drawn up there before taking under the counter payments.
Yeah, but Gordon, but right now, though, you and I both know.
We want things to be open, and this financial fair play. And of course, it's about income and expenditure.
I know, but Gordon, for the clubs at the moment, it's all about survival, and you're examining owners' wealth.
No, not wealth of owners, the state of play of the football club, so that the players can appreciate if they're asked to take deferrals or cuts, then they can see the exact position and appreciate it.
Well, let me ask you this, Gordon. Given that there's no vaccine, it's a distinct possibility no fans means vast revenues lost. So where's that money going to come from?
Well, clearly the game has been in shutdown. When they talk about the season's not a sprint, it's a marathon. This has gone on for some time. This is a unique situation. The game has survived. It's survived two world wars. It's survived the problems with the 80s, the tragedies of the 80s. It survived when ITV Digital financially made a big impact on the game. And the game's got to show resilience. But, of course, it's not got to be reckless, and it's as simple as that.
No, I understand. But if football does go behind closed doors, Gordon, especially in the Football League, will you advise your members that pay cuts are inevitable?
We're not certain even what the situation is, so it's hypothetical. My members know if there's not games played, there's no income coming in, either from television income, broadcasting income and gate receipts and sponsorship money. But that's, it's going to be it's going to be assessed throughout the whole country. Every profession, there's people not working. The government are paying half the wages of the working population at the moment. It's a unique time, and basically, you've got to adjust your economy into what you've got.
Now, the Grimsby Town manager Ian Holloway joined the wonderful Laura Woods, Freddie Flintoff, and Darren Bent on the Breakfast Show yesterday morning to discuss the possible restart of English football. He told them that trying to resume the season now, it just isn't safe.
It's invisible. You don't know. You can have it, you don't know. So that's what's so ludicrous about this. You know, you could have infected someone, made them ill, killed them. You might just brush it off in a couple of days, and yet they've lost their light. So how can we possibly, until there's a vaccine, until the government, who actually say, look, it's safe to do that now, how can we even dream of it? You've got health ministers having to resign because they've broke the rules and went to their holiday homes. How can we say that it's safe to let football players go back and play football?
And staying with the Breakfast Show is Freddie Flintoff with a story about dinner with Desmond Tutu, or Score Draw, as some of us refer to him as.
Ex-England captains get an honorary life membership. But the brilliant news was, I got given it on the same day as Desmond Tutu.
So, fame to fame.
Amazing.
No, we didn't get it in person together, although on a tour once, I did have dinner with Desmond Tutu. Right?
Who have you not had dinner with? This is amazing.
It gets better, this story. It was a charity do in a winery, Elton John, for his foundation. And I was sat on the table with him and Desmond Tutu. And I tell you what, Desmond Tutu is an absolute legend. He was one of the funniest men. He just held court on the table all the way through dinner, singing along to Elton's songs. He was brilliant.
Time now to hear from the Rangers boss and Liverpool legend Steven Gerrard, or Gerrard. I'm not sure. Steven Gerrard. I think it's Gerrard, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, he was with Jim White, Natalie Soy and Clinton Morrison discussing all matters relating to restarting the season, closing the gap on Celtic and the job Jurgen Klopp is doing at Liverpool.
I want to ask you what you think is the best case scenario for a return in Scotland.
Well, for myself, and I think everyone at Rangers is on the same page, I think what we wanted was to give it the best chance they can. There was certainly a difference from the view from the Premier League and the AFL, that they wanted to wait and give this season every single chance to be played out. Now, look, we all know and respect the fact that there might become a stage where that is impossible to happen. We get that. But there seems to be an almighty rush from where we were to finish it and get it done and get the votes in as soon as possible.
Yeah,
That didn't sit well at all. So, for me, our view hasn't changed on it at Rangers. We want to get back playing and finish the season off when it's physically safe to do that, because we all respect the situation that we're in. But there seems to be a huge difference in attitude towards the current season. You know, down in the north, the Premier League were coming out saying we'll do everything we can to finish it off. I think all the clubs and the managers initially were on the same page. You know, it's very important that you finish competitions off. And across Scotland, from top to bottom, there was so much football to be played in. Now, of course, I'm always going to be biased because I'm Rangers manager. And, you know, there's a 13-point gap that I respect, but I want to continue to put as much pressure on to the end. But in every league, so many other clubs had so much to play for. And we felt as if he was an almighty rush to just finish it straight away rather than giving it the best chance to be finished.
Yeah, I just want to talk about your old club, Liverpool, mate. What do you think of their season so far? They've had a terrific season, and I'm sure you want this season to end because they're definitely going to win the title.
Well, look, I've been listening to Jurgen Klopp, and I've actually bumped into him quite a lot. He lives down the road from me, and it's the first question, you know, I asked him when we spoke. And of course, I'm sure Jurgen's eager to get back playing when it's safe to do so, to try and finish off the remainder of their season. But in terms of Liverpool, how they've been for a few years now, I think they've been extremely strong. You know, they ran City ever so close last year. A team that's been in form for, you know, a long time, and I think the job Jurgen's done there has been incredible. It's so exciting to watch, you know, the mentality of the group, the whole group, the 23-odd players that they've got. They all seem in their zone, and, you know, they're such a difficult team to play against because they've got so many strengths all over the pitch.
I know for a fact, I've watched you for years, when you played, we loved you. and you loved the club you played for. Where does Rangers, what place does Rangers have in your heart?
Well, look, I think you start building relationships. I knew it was a top club from the outside. I was lucky to get the opportunity to go up there. You know, in, was it a bit early, of course, to get a job that size where I was at the time, you know, just still learning the academy. But they've gave me an opportunity to try and learn on the job. Now, I know I haven't got everything right and I've made some mistakes along the way, but I think there was an openness that that would be the case. I don't think anyone's expected me to go in and all of a sudden be a top-class manager. It is something that you've got to get better at. The only way to get experience is to do it, which is what I've tried to do. And, no, listen, I mean, my relationship with Rangers is strong. It's growing, of course. It's got a place in my heart. Liverpool will always be my team. I don't think anyone would argue against me. I was there for many, many years, all the way through, and had a good career at there. So this is starting out. We're 2 years in, and I'm hungry to continue doing it.
Now, the brilliant German football expert Kevin Hatchard joined Durham and Goffey on Drive after the news broke that Angela Merkel had given the green light for the Bundesliga to resume this month. Madness, that. That would never happen. Well, I tend to agree with you. Anyway, Kev said there was still no guarantee that the league would get finished.
This is a fluid situation. So at the moment, great, green light, we've got the restart. However, if in Germany as a whole, infection rates start to climb, and it does look as though more tests will be needed elsewhere, the DFL have stated, and everybody's well aware, that the season may have to be interrupted for a second time. So at the moment, it's good news for football fans and the clubs, and great, and we hope that all will go well. But there's no absolute guarantee now that the season will be completed.
Now, one of my favourite shows on TalkSport is, of course, Hawksby and Jacobs, Monday to Friday from 1 p.m. Why is it not your favourite? Well, it's mine, obviously, but it's a close second. Here are the best bits from their show yesterday.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I see baseball has restarted in South Korea with a cardboard cutout crowd. They look great. And Arsenal apparently quite excited. They think it'll improve the atmosphere at the Emirates.
Oh, come on. It's the shooting fish in a barrel time, isn't it? Start down that route. Do you want news from South Korea?
It's got to be.
Sonny, Sonny's military training. They've taken some pictures of him.
How's it going?
Well, he's number 136. He was pictured in his bulletproof helmet. Returning to boot camp after finishing a rifle exercises. He's in the Marine Corps on the Jeju Island, and it's all part of his three-week service. So he'll come back. He'll be able to fire a gun. He's going to be tear gassed. So if we get Millwall away in the cup, we'll be laughing, won't we? He'll be ready to rock and roll. Only and, kidding, Millwall Professor, fans. I know things have changed.
So I was looking at the birth today. Congratulations for a baby boy to Charles and Miranda Corn. Yeah. Corn, how are they going to raise him?
Hey? That's very good.
Thank you very much. And Colonel Tom Moore has rightly been awarded a gold Blue Peter badge, which is tremendous. He deserves it. But some of the other people, amongst the other people who've got it, the Queen, Sir David Attenborough, and Mary Berry. Why has Mary Berry got a gold Blue Peter badge? What, for baking a few cakes? I'd ask for that back.
Only you could get that annoyed at someone getting a gold. I mean, what does it mean, a gold Blue Peter badge? You're not paying for it.
Nothing.
It's not like the gold. They don't take money out of your bank account to buy it and send it to it, do they? It's just a mark of respect.
Now, the Aston Villa chief exec, Christian Perslow, who's confirmed he's against playing Premier League matches on neutral territory. Perslow was speaking on The Breakfast Show with the wonderful Laurel Woods.
It's like the Grand National that sort of started in Aintree in March, and we're going to restart it, but we're restarting at Ascot, not at Aintree, and the horses aren't quite the same, and when jockeys are sick, they change as well. So we've got a radically different product that we're all trying to find a way to put back on. And a neutral grounds, which was revealed on Friday as something that we're going to have to look at carefully, is just one example. Personally, I'm against it. You know, we're a club that prides itself on our home form. I think we're the third. I think two-thirds of our results this season our wins this season have come at home. We've got six home games left to play. So I think any Villa fan would agree that giving up that advantage is a massive decision for somebody running Aston Villa. And I certainly wouldn't agree to that unless the circumstances were right.
And staying with The Breakfast Show and staying with Woodsy, with a story about me Andy Goldstein, making a receptionist go and buy makeup and put it on me? Yeah, I do remember. That did actually happen. And bizarrely, it wasn't for telly. It was just I was going out on a Saturday night.
Andy Goldstein, who's a presenter on this station, he does Sports Bar, which is one of my favourite shows and has been for about 10 years.
Get that out there before your story comes out.
Andy Goldstein. He used to have this thing. He loved sweets, so he used to make all the makeup lady used to look after him and bring him sweets all the time. And I always remember one day we didn't have a makeup lady for Premier League Snooker, and he was so worried about it. And he made one of the girls. I couldn't do it actually, because at the time I wasn't a runner anymore. I was a producer. So this was after a couple of years. But he made the girl that worked at the leisure centre where we were doing Premier League Snooker. She went to the local supermarket and she bought makeup, and then she did his makeup because he had to have makeup. So basically, she left her post as the receptionist on the door, went to Tesco's, bought some makeup, and then did his makeup for him.
Absolute diva.
Simon Jordan here. You and I are both listening to the TalkSport Daily Podcast.
Now, of course, it's time for the best bits of last night's Sports Bar. And, of course, I'm recording this before the show, so I don't know how good a show was.
Oh, finally, you tell the truth.
Okay, but it was a great show. Now, I'm very excited to talk to our next guest. Of course, he's a former Man United legend. He won 5 Premier Leagues. Get this, 2 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, 2 Community Shields. Yeah, they count. And get this, 2 Champions Leagues. Unbelievable. I'm delighted to welcome to the show Wes Brown. Hello, Wes. Good evening.
Hey, Wes.
How you doing, lad?
Oh, good for you. How are you coping with lockdown? What's going on? How are you dealing with it all? What are you watching on Netflix? What's going on?
The Last Dance, watching on Netflix, mate. But yeah, been okay. Kids do me head in a bit, but everything other than that's normal. The same as everyone else, really, lads.
Wes, can you try and imagine what it must be like for these lads now at top clubs, being, you know, forced into to isolation, not being out of train with everyone, and it's been a very long time actually. Yet there's talk now of, and I believe that they're going to try absolutely everything for the Premier League to return. Yet first class football could return in a matter of weeks behind closed doors. It kind of blows my mind a little bit that you can be on your own for so long, then you're going to be thrown together for a couple of weeks and then expected to play. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's going to be, well, it's a lot different to what we're normally used to. I think it'll be tough at times. Obviously, I know the club's managers and coaches will be in contact with the players, you know, most days. I think it's probably easier for the first team, lads. I think it's more difficult for, like, youth teams and stuff, you know, that have basically this season's been told that it's, you know, it's not happening. Sort of all go home, we'll give you some programmes and we'll sort of see you whenever we get restarted again. But I'm sure the lads will want to get it up and going again. I think it's good that maybe we can watch the Bundesliga do it first and see what happens and see, you know, if it's the right thing to do. Is everybody safe? You know, are all the players actually up for it? Because we don't really know that one yet. How safe is it going to be? And some players, you know, everyone has different thoughts on it, but some players might not want to play. So there's lots of things to take into consideration. So yeah, it's going to be a weird one.
If it was you, Wes, if you were still a pro and you were asked by the club, irrelevant of what club you're at, and they said that, Wes, football's coming back in 2 weeks. Some players are opting not to play, some are. What would you vote for?
I would probably play, but that's just my character. You would want quite a lot of facts on it, though. But in general, I would be probably one of the ones who would play. But that's me being then selfish, because then I'm guessing that's not, it's not just about me. It's about maybe I could have it and then pass it on to other people. That's the problem. You know, and that's where you probably would have to think about it. So my first reaction would be play. And then, you know, it would be important then to speak to my family and see what would happen from there, because there might be people in my family who wouldn't want me to.
All I've rung up for is for you to sing happy birthday to me.
To me?
Yeah, no, to me. Not to you, to me.
All right. When's your birthday? When?
Oh, God.
I'm guessing that dumped. Is she gone? She's gone.
No, I ain't gone.
Oh, she's still there. Don't swear. You're live. So, don't swear.
Have you had a present yet, Charlotte? I mean, we're
birthday to me.
We're 18 minutes into your birthday. Have you received any present yet?
My mum sent me an early birthday present like 2 days ago. I didn't know who the hell it was from, and it was from Amazon. And it was a Diamante gin glass. I was like, who's this from? But anyway, all I want is for you to sing happy birthday to me.
Who do you want to sing it, Jason or me?
Two and you're out. You can't be. You can't drop two F-bombs. I mean, I know it's her birthday, and I understand that she's, you know, she's 31. You're only 31 once, apparently. but yeah.
But that's it for another podcast. Good work, everyone. Reminder, of course, you can download previous shows or future ones via Acast, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I'll be back tonight for more of the same from 10 p.m. with the Sports Bar and Old Moonface. In the meantime, have a great day. Keep your distance. Wash your hands. And above all, gang, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.